You know, folks, as we come into our Thanksgiving series and we begin to stop and think about, if you have your bulletin and you can see this morning, that we are talking about abundant and eternal life. And we begin to think about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and how much He loved us, that He died upon a cross that we could have eternal life. He loved us so much that His whole desire is that we have abundant life. And not only abundant life here on this earth, but He desires for us to have an eternal life with Him. And when we stop and we think about this, it just really blows my mind, because this morning as I was sitting there watching the daylight break and the sun come up, and I was beginning to think about, as Irvin said, we're right here in the fourth quarter. We're maybe in overtime. We don't know. But how many more days do we actually have here on this earth to really enjoy the blessings that God has provided for us? So this morning we're going to be looking at John, the 10th chapter, 1 through 10. And I just want you to just think about a couple of things. God's intention, and Jesus is telling us this, His intention is for all of us, each and every one of us, to have a blessed life, to be led, to be fed, and to be protected. And this is what you're going to see in this morning. He leads us, He feeds us, and He protects us. What more could we ask for? What more could we ask for? And not only here, folks, but he is going to be preparing a place for us that we are going to have eternal life with Him. And that's going to be even more wonderful than being here on this earth. Let us just go ahead and read the first 10 verses of John 10. It's on the board. There. I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them. And they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. So he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. But my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, as we stop and we think about an abundant and eternal life, I guess because I'm older and I'm not as young as I once was, I begin to think about the eternal life as much or more than I think about the abundant life that we have here. Because you begin to think about this trip. Me and Bubba and a bunch of us, we get on a motorcycle and we think about that trip. We think about a big trip. We're going to take a big three-day ride or something, and it's a big, big deal, you know. But, folks, we're fixing to take a trip that we ain't never been on before. I mean, this is going to be a trip that's going to be out of this world. And so we begin to think about that. And as we think about this eternal life that the Lord has provided for us through His death, burial, and resurrection, He tells us that I want to talk to, he's basically saying, I want y'all to understand that Anyone who sneaks over the wall to the sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief or a robber. You know, you really have to stop and back up just a little bit, because in the ninth chapter, he was talking about he had healed the blind man. And so we all know that story, and they brought the blind man in and they questioned him. And he said, you know, I'm just telling you what happened. And they threw him out of the temple. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to have anything to do with him. And it says in verse 34 of the ninth chapter that they are telling him, said, you're born a total sinner, they answered, and you're trying to teach us that Jesus has given you sight when you were born blind and he's given you sight? And they threw him out of the synagogue, threw him out of church, because that's what he's telling them. He's saying, hey, I don't know. This dude, I'm just telling you guys, this is Jesus Christ, and he has healed me. And so Jesus is coming, and he's saying to, and you know the blind man's there. He's listening to what Jesus has to say. He says if they come and they're trying to get over the wall that holds our sheep, and they're not trying to go through the gate, they're thieves and robbers. Well, sure they are. Folks, we see this every day. We see these thieves and robbers. And this is what I want you to be very much aware of. You say, well, Mike, who is the thieves and the robbers? Well, I want to come back, first of all, to the pastors of all of these churches, the preachers that's on TV, the different ones. If you're not real, real careful, you're looking at the thieves and the robbers right there. They want to come in, and they want to teach you stuff that is not correct. They want to teach you stuff that they want you to hear. They want to teach you the things of the world instead of the things that's in the Bible. They do that for one reason, folks. They want the money. They want the prestige. They want to be able to be thought of better than you are. They want to be looked at as something on a pedestal. They're a thief. They're a robber. And this is what Jesus was saying. And he says, as they enter through the gate of the shepherd of the sheep, the gatekeeper opens a gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls on the sheep by name, and he leads them out. You know, a sheep or a dog or a cat or a bull or a heifer or anything, if you fool with that thing every day, they know their name. They get to where that you can holler at them and call them by name and they will respond. And I was raised on a farm, and I know a little bit about some animals. And no matter what you got, no matter what kind of animal it is, whether it's a horse or a cow or what, if you lead this animal, you can kind of lead him a little bit. You can kind of get him to follow you, especially if you got a bucket with a little feed in it. He'll follow you just a little bit. But you can't drive that animal hardly anywhere, because he'll get started in a direction that looks pretty good to you, and then he'll hang a right or a left. And he'll run off, and there you go. You got to chase him some more. So you need to be always thinking about people are the same as sheep. They're the same as any animal, whatever you're dealing with. But sheep especially, they were ones that would listen to the shepherd. They would listen, and when he called their name, they would come out. Now, you stop and you think about this, folks, and I know everybody's seen an old Western where they have a Liberty stable, and they bring the horses in, and they put them in. This one guy controls everybody's horse. He feeds him and takes care of him, and you pick him back up the next morning. You know, we've all seen that on TV. Well, that is kind of what was happening here. You would bring your sheep to this one location of the afternoon, and there would be a guy there that would take care of them. He would put them in the pen. And when they come to pick the sheep up the next morning, then they would call the sheep by name, and the sheep would come out, and they would follow the shepherd out into the field to graze. So this is where Jesus was coming from with what he is saying. But he is using it in a form that they understood about the sheep, But what he is really saying to all of us today, then, and everything, is I am the shepherd. I am the one that controls when I call your name. And when my true sheep, the ones that really know me, the ones that really love me, when I call their name, they come to me. They know I'm speaking to them. Folks, we are full. The world is full of people that come and sit in church on Sunday. They don't have a clue when Jesus speaks to them. They don't have a clue. They're just like, well, I didn't know he spoke to me. I thought that was meant for you, Mike. It was, but it was meant for you too. And so you have to be aware of when Jesus is speaking, they come to him, is what he says. They recognize his voice and come to him. So we're seeing that he is talking about the eternal life that he's offering to us, folks. This eternal life that he's offering is when we have the last Monday that we ever have, and that Monday's over with, and he calls our name, will we come to him? Will we come to him being ready for that abundant eternal life that he has prepared for us? Or will we not? I didn't know, Lord, it was going to be today. I didn't know, Lord, that it was going to happen this quick. I didn't know, Lord, that I'm not ready. Folks, I've been there when I thought I was going to meet the Lord, and I told him, I said, I'm not ready. I do not need to stand in front of you today. I know how that is. But today, if he comes to get me today, I know without a shadow of a doubt I'm going to hear his voice. I'm going to know who he is, and I'm going to respond and go with him. And I'm not looking back at this deal, because it's as much as I love every one of y'all, I'm not going to be looking backwards. I'm going to be looking forward to the big trip. Because we don't know what that trip's going to be like till we can get there. But I can imagine that it's going to be wonderful. Jesus talks about how that when we know his voice and the strangers come, we hear the preachers that really don't care about teaching you and preaching to you about the word. All they're interested in is themselves. They're strangers, folks. They're people that people do not know. You do not know that shepherd. You do not know the word. They're thieves. They're robbers. They're strangers. And you don't respond because you don't know who them people are. You don't respond because you don't know who that guy is. Who is it that's preaching to me? I don't know this man. And so we don't respond. And this is what we see that Jesus is saying. They are strangers. But he says, Jesus tells us about the abundant life that he has for us, not only in heaven, but here on this earth, in 7 through 10. And he tells us, he said, those in verse 6, he said, those that heard this illustration, they didn't understand what it meant. He was beginning to explain it to them. They were just sitting there and they're thinking, what in the world is Jesus talking about? He's using so many parables, and I just don't get this deal about him being the shepherd and him being over the sheepfold and him being the keeper of the door and the keeper of the gate. I just don't get it. And so Jesus begins to explain it to him in verse 7. And he says, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. You know, he tells us that no one can come to the Father except through him. He's telling us right here, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate, and those who come through me will be saved. You know, it's no clearer, folks, anywhere. In John 14, it talks about this, but it's no clearer anywhere than right here. He says, I am the gatekeeper. I'm the one that's going to be controlling the gate. You know, we all make jokes and we like to talk and laugh and cut up about, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be the one operating the gate. And when I see you coming, you ain't getting in, dude. I'm going to shut the door and you ain't coming in. Well, the thing about it is, we're not going to get to operate the gate. You can think you are, and you can think that you can control who's coming and who's going, because there's going to be lots of people in heaven that you don't have nothing to do with today when you get there. I'm fully convinced of that. We're going to have neighbors that we don't like to talk to and fool with, and they're going to be there, and you're going to be there. What are you going to do then? I mean, you may even have to share a bunk back there with them. You don't know how it's going to be. But what are we going to do when it's like that? We're going to say, run to Jesus and say, hey, I don't like this dude. I didn't like him down there on earth. I sure don't like him up here in heaven. And you know what? You might not get to stay. So I'd say don't be complaining. Andrea was saying this morning that Urban was a whiny boy. That was pretty funny. That's not true. You're not a whiny boy. Tammy would tell you I am a whiny boy. That's for sure. But folks, when we look at the abundant life that God has for us, and he tells us that, he said, if you come through me, you will be saved. And he says, then we will come and go freely, and we'll find good pastures. You know, I thought about this morning when I was thinking about all this, I was thinking about we will go and come freely and be able to go and come just like we do here today in this world. And we will find good pastures. You know, when we look at the 23rd Psalm and he tells us that, you know, we will have everything we need. There will be no want. We won't have a need. And I will be there with you, whether you be here or whether you be with me in heaven. I will be there with you. I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death with you. And so we see that he's telling us that we will have the pastures that we need here on this earth. You know, to me, folks, abundant life, it comes down to one thing. And that one thing comes back to Jesus Christ. Abundant life. If you're living a life here on this earth, you're living an abundant life. Because if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're living here and your needs are met, you're living an abundant life. But how many of us are living a content life? There's a lot of difference in living an abundant life and not being content in a life that where we are content. I pray that everyone is content in the life that they're living. Because if you're content, you know what that means? That you have the joy and the peace that only comes through Jesus Christ. If you're not content, if you're all the time wanting something, if you're all the time wanting something different, all the time you're not happy with what card you've been dealt, then you're not content. You're not happy. Tammy tells me I have a want list as far as it goes back up there to Joy and Sam. And I do. But I'm content if I don't ever get a thing. I'm content. Contentment comes through Jesus Christ. Being able to sit with basically no worry. We may be sick. We may wish things were different. But are you content? I hope that you are. Because you see, I've been there in all of this, folks. I've been right here. When I've been to the point where I didn't know. I didn't know if I was sick, really sick. I didn't know if I was going to be living with the Lord in heaven, or if I was going to continue to live here in the little house at Buchanan. I didn't know what the deal was. But you know what? I was content. And today, I pray that when you don't know and you're not 100%, that you learn to put your trust, put your faith in Jesus Christ. This abundant life that He offers to us is so unreal. Every one of us at Thanksgiving, Christmas, somewhere right in here in the next month or two, we're going to be celebrating with families and friends, and we will have more than we need to eat. I pray that we give God the credit for it. Give Him the thanks for it. Because it's all His. Everything we have is His. You truly own nothing, folks. And if you don't believe that, then you hang out up there at Ridgeway's, and when they shut that lid on that casket, you'll know. I don't have one form thing. I don't own a thing. Because it's gone. You know, there's lots of things that we talk about as far as the things that we own here in this earth. And it's good to have things and want things and desire things. I'm not saying that God doesn't like that, because you have to have a desire in you. You have to have a desire to know that there's a better life in heaven and a better life with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You have to have that desire to know and study and to desire to come and have Him as your best friend and have that relationship with Him. And that desire in our life that we live brings back to the things of a lot of the things of the world that we want and take for granted that we have. But we have this desire in us, folks. But when it all comes down to that last Monday, there won't be anything, not one thing, that we will be taking with us. You know, I heard them talk about that old man that said he's going to take all of his money with him, and he told his wife, he said, "I want all my money put in that casket." She wrote a check and threw it in there and shut the lid. He got all of his money. He just didn't have nowhere to deposit it. You know, it's no good, folks, when we think about all of the stuff that we have that we want to take with us. You know, the most wonderful thing in the whole free world of this abundant life that Jesus gives us here on this earth, and the things that we are able to be stewards of here on this earth, the most wonderful thing is the eternal life. And the most wonderful thing after that is the fact that I can offer this eternal life to every one of us, not just one here and there. I can offer it to every one of us. And it's up to us whether we accept it or not. It's up to us to decide whether we're going to be a follower of Christ. It's up to us to make the decisions that require us to be Christians and to be the one that God calls His son or His daughter. Folks, it's entirely up to us. He gives us free will. And we have that free will to make these decisions. So I pray today, folks, that you are living a life that is contented in your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray you're living a life that you're telling others about Jesus Christ, this abundant life in which you have. I'm hoping, pray, that you're sharing the gospel with others, even that neighbor that you really don't care much about. Invite them to church. Folks, every bit of this abundant eternal life, whether it be here or there, is as real as me standing here talking to you. It is 100% real. I pray that we all accept it. I pray that we all are looking forward to it. And I pray that as we look forward to this life, that we look forward in a way that we never have before. And think about it. I've never been on a cruise, but I hear Mark talk about it. And he says when you get on to looking forward to a cruise, you know, you get all excited and you get to thinking about all the fun that you're going to be having and the beautiful things you're going to be seeing. Well, I know one thing. One day, we're going to be taking that trip. And I hope today that you are excited about it. You're not looking, you're not dreading it. You're at a point where you're not sad about it. I pray that we're all living the abundant life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.